Now? Yeah. Thank you, Jim. Yeah, it's very applicable, you know, that through the whole experience of this Feast of Trumpets, and especially through this prayer, month of prayer through September, there is a very profound kind of understanding of we are dying to something. We are letting go of something in order to receive the good new thing that God wants to do in us, and it is very uncomfortable. Unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it will not bear any fruit. So, we embrace that reality for sure in this whole process. Let me just pray, and we're going to dive into a shorter teaching today. So let's just open our hearts up to God's Holy Spirit as we sit before His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You for this time. We have to sit at Your feet and hear from Your Word. We know that it's not just empty pages, empty words on pages, but it's Your Word is life to us. And we think of Your Word that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And so as we sit at Your feet, as we dive into this text, I pray that we would indeed taste and see that You're good, that we would hear from You today, that each of us would have a very clear sense of You, Holy Spirit, speaking to us personally, and that You would speak to us as well as a church family. We hold our hands open to receive the good gift that You have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week we dove into this story of David and Goliath. And so I want to move from that story. A number of years later, David is now a grown man. And so we move from 1 Samuel 17 to 1 Samuel 21. And let me read the text. The context is David is now running. He's running for his life. He's running from Saul, who's now has his head, trying to kill him. And so David is now running. And this is the story of that journey. David went to the town of Nob to see Ahimelech, the priest. Ahimelech trembled when he saw him. "Why are you alone?" he asked. "Why is no one with you?" "The king has sent me on a private matter," David said. "He told me not to tell anyone why I'm here. I have told my men where to meet me later. Now, what is there to eat? Give me 5 loaves of bread or anything else that you have." "We don't have any regular bread," the priest replied, "but there is holy bread, which you can have." "With any women?" "Don't worry," David replied. "I've never are on a campaign." "And since they stay clean even on ordinary trips, how much more on this one? Since there is no other food available, the priest gave him the holy bread, the bread of the presence that was placed before the Lord in the tabernacle. It had just been replaced that day and was fresh. Now Doeg the Edomite, Saul's chief herdsman, was there that day, having been detained before the Lord. And David asked Ahimelech, 'Do you have a spear or sword?' The king's business was so urgent that I didn't even have time to grab a weapon. 'I only have a sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah,' the priest replied. 'It is wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. Take it if you want it, for there is nothing else here. There is nothing like it. Nothing else like it,' David replied. 'Give it to me.' So David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Soon his brothers and all his other relatives joined him there. Then others began coming, men who were in trouble or in debt or who were just discontented, until David was the captain of about 400 men." Pretty rich text. Let's dive into it. David was this boy in 1 Samuel 17 between ages 11 and 14. And the weapon that he was familiar with was a sling and a stone. It was an appropriate weapon for his age and for his time and for his context. But it's interesting, David grew up. And as he grew up, as he developed as a man, his weapon needed to change. The weapon of old, the slingshot and the stone, no longer sufficed. He needed something else. David grew up. I've heard it said that what the river is going through right now is growing pains. Someone said in a prayer time, it's like we're growing up. It's like God is calling us to grow up in some of our weak places, our younger seasons, younger time. I wonder if you're experiencing something similar in your own life. Is God doing something new in you? Maybe that in-between time where we have to let go of something in order to receive something new, that there's a growing up, a season of maturing and developing. See, early on in David's life, he was small. He had a slingshot and a stone. He fully embraced who he was, his own limits, and how God made him as a young boy. It was all he needed. But as he grew up as a young man, the fighting began to change. The nature of the battle began to change, and he now required a new weapon. So here, David is running from Saul, and interesting that he is heading into the wilderness. He's heading into this new place, this desert experience, and as he heads out into the wilderness, he stops to Ahimelech the priest for nourishment, for bread, and for a weapon. He knows full well that the sling and the stone will not suffice, will not be what he needs for this next season of his life. You see, Scripture says that he fled from Saul for between 13 and 15 years. This was going to be a hard season of his life. And the weapon that he would need in order to survive would need to be different. And so he flees to this town of Nob and visits an old friend, the priest Ahimelech. David says that he's on this special mission and that he needs a weapon, and he did not have time to grab one. Interesting that the priest offers him the sword that he took from the giant Goliath. I wonder what was going on in David's life when he was reminded of that moment. I wonder if God was speaking to him and reminding him, remember when you killed that giant? Remember when God's faithfulness got you through that very dark, the valley of death? I'm going to see you through this next valley, David. And he receives this sword. David takes it and says, there's no sword like it. So David's grown up. He now needs a sword. His battle has changed. And I wonder if the weapons that have sufficed, that have kind of seen you through the last number of years, no longer will suffice. I wonder if the Spirit is saying to you, you know what? You've been kind of self-sufficient. You know some of the gifts that I've given you in Christ, but you know what? I want to pour out more. I have more for you for this next season, this next part of the journey. I wonder if the Spirit is saying that to you. I know and have a sense that the Spirit's saying that to us as a church, that the weapons, the gifts that God has given us and that we've had as a church over the last 10 years will no longer suffice as we move into the 11th year, this next season of the River Church. And I wonder if the Spirit is saying to us, I have more for you. You'll need to open up your heart to more of God's Spirit and more of the gifts of God's Spirit. Remember, you know, when I was a kid, beginning to embrace the healing that God had for me in Christ in my own healing journey. And the gifts that were embodied in my church and the gifts that were embodied in some of my mentors were not enough. They weren't enough to get underneath some of the wounds and the stones that were buried deep in my heart. And I had to seek out, and I didn't know this at the time, I had to seek out people with new sets of gifts. Gifts of discernment and knowledge and wisdom, healing prayer. It was those gifts that God used to begin to heal and bring new healing in my life. I think sometimes we actually need to go back to the priest, our great high priest, Jesus, and say, God, I need a different weapon for this next season of my journey. What I have been holding on to is it no longer suffices. I need that sword. Hebrews says that we have this great high priest, and because of what Jesus has done, I can come running boldly into his presence to receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. Jesus is ultimately our high priest. And as we enter into the wilderness time, who do we run to? We run to Jesus. We go to our high priest and we receive the bread that only he can offer, for Jesus says, I am the bread. And we receive the sword that only he can give us, that new gift that is required for the next stage of our battle, of our journey. So the first point, let us come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in our time of need and receive all that he has for us in the next stage of our journey. But it's not just spiritual weapons that Jesus wants to give us. Just like David, you and I won't be able to face our challenges alone. And the cool thing in this text is that when David ran away, God gave him friends. One by one, these groups began to arrive at this cave called Adullam. And eventually there was 400 plus men and women that gathered around him, friends and family. And that was his safe place. This cave of Adullam must have been a well-known cave. It must have been huge. When I was in Israel, there were caves everywhere, but this was very familiar to David and his men. His friends must have figured that he would hide there. The text seems to indicate that he told them that's where to meet. I get this picture of almost like Robin Hood and the Forest of Nottingham, and here's this group, this motley crew that has surrounded David and supported him in probably the toughest time of his life. This safe place. We all need a safe place, don't we? A haven. I was thinking this morning around the River Church, and for many of you, this is your Adullam, isn't it? It's a place where you can kind of let the guard down and be yourself and talk freely about your relationship with Jesus, and you don't have to couch words, you don't have to kind of, you can just let it all hang out, right? You can come to the table and come as you are and confess sin, and we don't need to hide in this place. This is our Adullam. This is our safe place. We all experience kind of the world, for many of us, and maybe we're finding ourselves in a wilderness time, and where do we go? We come running to community. We come running to Christ, the broken bread and the cup at the table. We come running to the presence of Christ in each of us. This is our Adullam, our safe place. We all need a safe place where we don't have to hide, we don't have to pretend, where we can be real. Where's your cave? Is this your cave? Is this your place where you have found safety? As I think about this reality and the need for each of us to be part of this kind of safe community, I know that many of you have called the River Church your church. This is your safe place. Your simple church, for many of you, is your safe place. It's a place where you can cry, where you can share, where you can be prayed for and receive on a deeper level. We all need those places. I like Rich Mullen's quote. We put it in our Fueling Thoughts last week, and it says this, I never understood why going to church make you a hypocrite, because nobody goes to church because they're perfect. If you've got it all together, you don't need to go. Every time you go to church, you're confessing again to yourself, to your family, to the people you pass on the way there, that you don't have it all together and that you need their support, you need their direction, you need some help. Isn't that good? Rich Mullins, the late Rich Mullins. We need one another on this journey to have a safe place for us to talk and doubt and grow and confess. I love the story of Philip Yancey. He's in Bible college or seminary, and he's there with his brother. His brother's actually at a different seminary or different college, and they're both having two very different experiences. But ironically, they both came out of a very legalistic, fundamentalist kind of church experience where it was all about management and sin management, and there was some crazy, crazy rules. And Philip Yancey says that it was just a place that was really, really messed up. And they both came out of that high control environment. And so now they find themselves in college. And they came to a place very much the same age that I did in my own journey, where I began to ask some serious questions. And Philip found himself in a community where he was free to express his doubts and his questions. And people didn't put him down, and he began to see through Scripture that Scripture actually invites us to accept our doubts and face them rather than hide from them. But sadly, his brother had a different experience. He was part of a college or seminary where he was not free to express his questions and doubts. And in the end, Philip's faith grew and became this vital place of growth and life. And sadly, his brother, because there was no safe place for him to express doubts, he eventually walked away from his faith. Two different experiences. Same struggle, but it all depended on the fact that one had an Adullam and one didn't. Our hope is that the river is your Adullam. That you experience, whether in a large setting like this or in a small setting like a simple church or even in groups of three or four, that you experience the safety and the grace of God, that this isn't a place where it's about sin management. It's a place where you can come as you are and you're loved and where you can experience the grace of Christ. And hopefully in that environment you experience and encounter Jesus. As I think about this reality that Christ calls us to an Adullam, some of us do that really well. But some of us are still scared. Some of us still holding our cards pretty close to our chest. Some of us have come from such untrusting environments that you're having a hard time trusting others in this community with maybe your shadow side or your questions or your fears. And at some point in your journey, I believe the Spirit of God just says, you know what, you're going to have to take a step of faith. You're going to have to press in. As I was thinking about this, I recall a story of my senior pastor at North Shore Alliance Church who impressed me one year. I forget where it was in my 6 years at North Shore Alliance Church, but he told this story from the pulpit of realizing that there was no kind of safe person in his life, and where by God's Spirit, God began to press it on his heart. You need to go after a friend. You need to go after someone who you can trust and where you really press in and go deep in that friendship. You need to put your butt on the line and go after that because you need it. And so after some time of prayer and kind of honest reflection, He chose a guy in the church and he just took him out for coffee and he says, I want to be your friend. Can you imagine the guy? Like, and it wasn't a one-off. Obviously, he had a relationship with this guy already, but it was basically saying, I need to go deeper with you. Do you want to go deeper with me? And that friendship blossomed. And what a blessing for us as staff, an encouragement for each of us to go after a friend and say, I need a safe place. I need someone who's safe, who knows me and yet still loves me. One of our values at the River is to be engaged. And I believe God's Spirit is calling us to be engaged in relationship. And it may require to go deeper. Take the risk. Put your butt on the line. Go after a friendship and say, I want to go deeper with you. But it wasn't just an Adullam. It was this. It was also a place where David was surrounded by mighty men. That's the term he uses. There was 37 mighty men in David's life. 37 mighty warriors, men who were stronger than David, who were more accomplished on the battlefield, men who David could trust that they had his back. Older, stronger, wiser. So impresses me around David that he didn't just surround himself with younger, but he surrounded himself with people that were far stronger, and he wasn't insecure. He was able to receive from these mighty men. But it wasn't just 37. Scripture says that there was three in particular that were really close to him. I call them his trinity. The first was Ishbal. Second, Eleazar and Shema. These were leaders who killed 800 men in a single battle, who stood their ground when all else failed. And Shema is also, Scripture says, that he stood his ground when all ran away. These were the men that David surrounded himself with. How many of you need mighty men and women who have got your back, who aren't running in the face of struggle, in the face of hardship, who you can fully trust? Who are your mighty men? Can you name them? Interesting, Jesus had 120 followers, probably more. But at the end in some of the Gospels and Acts, it talks about this group of 120 in the upper room. There was 120 followers. But there was three that were really close to Jesus. I wonder if those were Jesus' mighty men. People who surrounded him in his time of need, in the face of adversity, who had his back the best of their ability. Who are your mighty men, your mighty women? This time in our financial struggle as a church and as we enter into this 11th year, I'm all the more aware of the holes in my leadership and where I'm lacking as a leader. All the more aware of my own insecurities as a leader and as a man, and that's a good thing. But it's a reminder for me to surround myself with mighty men, people who have my back, who can mentor me through some hard struggles. And so in this season, God's Spirit has been saying, Darcy, you need to go after some mighty men. Who's your mighty men? They can't just be peers. We all need peer friendship, who people who understand us and love us and maybe have similar struggles and walk with us in that journey, but we all need more than that. We need mighty men and women who can speak into our lives, who have journeyed that walked that path long before we have and have said, no, I've actually walked this way. Follow me. We need those people. Where would we be without those people? So David had his Adullam, he had mighty men, but he also had a friend, Jonathan. I've said this before, Jonathan and David is a classic bromance, right? Classic bromance. It'd be like Frodo and Samwise Gamgee, right? That's a classic bromance, isn't it? Aragorn and Legolas, if you want to stick with the Lord of the Rings, that is a classic bromance. Some of us who are older, Starsky and Hutch, bromance, right? What other bromances are out there that you remember? Han Solo and Chewie. Oh, yeah. Nice. Batman and Robin. Yeah. Hey? Bert and Ernie. Exactly. Oh, yeah. Right on. Hey? Skipper and Gilligan. Yeah, there's so many bromances. Who are your friends that are journeying with you? You know, the cool thing about Jonathan is that he wasn't threatened by David. Jonathan should have inherited the king, the crown. But he saw gifts emerge in David. He saw the anointing on David. And he relinquished control of his kingship. And he gave it to his best friend. He let go of those things. He was secure in who he was and who and what God was doing in his life. I wonder what God's Spirit might be saying to you around your commitment to the river as your Adullam. Not to the organization, but to the people. To one another. Pressing in and saying, you know what, I'm gonna do what it takes as on my part to press into relationship. This becomes more a safe place and more a place where I belong and where I'm known. I wonder what God's Spirit is saying to you around the river being your Adullam. I wonder what God's Spirit is saying to you around your mighty men, mighty women that are in your life, that are pouring into you, that are mentoring you through this season that you're going through. I pray that by God's grace that you go after these. I wonder what God's Spirit is saying to you around that soul friend, that spiritual friend that you need to go deeper with. That you need to pursue and put your butt on the line. I believe that God's Spirit is speaking to us around these things. And I wonder what God is saying to you around that spiritual gift. Maybe you have been very comfortable with your set of spiritual gifts, that sling and a stone. It's got you through multiple battles, but maybe the Spirit is saying, you know what? You need to press in and receive the sword. I've got other gifts for you that you'll need to get through this next season of your journey. The message today is not just this passive one. There's a number of action points in this message, isn't there? To engage means that we actually leave today and we say, I'm going to go after one of these things. For us to listen to God's Spirit and to do what He's asking us to do. Because the Word today is a gift to us. It's a gift of life. You want to experience the new thing that I have for you? You'll need others to come around you in order to receive that. But irregardless, you know, we can choose the strongest of mighty men and women. We can choose the best of friends. We can have the greatest of church. But when it comes to where the rubber hits the road really is that we ultimately need Jesus. He's the only one that will never fail us, will never leave us. David had his Adullam, his safe place, but Scripture says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, that the righteous run to Him and are safe. He is our Adullam, isn't He? Ultimately, Jesus is our Adullam. David had his three mighty men, his Trinity, but we have our Trinity, don't we? We have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when we are in desperate need, who do we run to? We run to Him. He's got our back, ultimately. And Scripture says that He no longer calls us servants, but He calls us friends. Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Ultimately, in all of this, we run to Jesus. We did that at the table today. And when we do that in every minute of our day, we run to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your word to us today. Thank you for being our safe place. Thank you for being our Adullam, that cave that we can run to where we can find refuge and receive grace and in our time of need. Thank you for always receiving us with open arms. Thank you for loving us as we are. Thank you that we don't have to hide our blemishes, that we can come disoriented and disillusioned and lost, and you receive us. You love us. Thank you for being our safe place. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you for being our mighty God. Thank you, Jesus, for being our friend. We love you. And thank you for the good gifts that you have for us. And we just want to receive all that you have for us in this coming year. And by your grace, I pray that the kind of the action step that you have for each of us as it concerns these relationships, I pray that you would give us the grace to press in. To press into you, ultimately. All that you have for us and that sword, those gifts that you have for us in this next season of our journey. We want to receive all that you have for us. We don't want to miss anything. So give us your grace. To follow in trust and obedience and just follow you. We commit our lives to you. Thank you for this time, this morning. It's been good. In Jesus' name, amen.